Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're brown. Ambition. Hey, Mandra, how, besides your hair, what is up and out?
Hello, and I know we're looking like a couple of spring blooms today.
Yeah.
Hot and pink. Well, it's so good just to catch up with you. I feel like obviously you went on vacay. We talked a little bit, but haven't had like a proper catch up, proper kiki. Had some exciting guests in the stew.
Yes.
Been a little busy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So lots to look forward there. But I don't know. I just want to like catch up because I feel like there's been so much, I don't know, important news of Black America. Mm-hmm. What should we talk about first? Or should you just tell me what's happening in Budget Needs to Land?
Honestly, Budget Needs to Land has been very, which I like, boring. I really realized that like I'm not going back to like, I feel sorry for anyone who is like, Tiffany is going to go back to grinding it out or whatever.
They're waiting.
Some people are waiting.
Don't
and I'm
hold
like,
your
breath. You're going to turn blue, sis. I'm certainly, you know me, I work hard, but also too, I know that I have planted plenty enough seeds that I'll never not pick. You know, like I was literally, I walked with one of my friends, Brandi said like she comes from like Brooklyn and like we take a walk at my favorite, one of my favorite parks is around this pond. And we were just talking about that, how,
She got to go on a walk with you. Nice for her.
But we were talking about it. I just was saying how you reach a point, like I have reached a point, and I wanted her to say this affirmation where it's like, it's okay to say, I know how to make money. I was like, you know, you never want to, you feel like, no. I know how to make money. I have put in enough work for access, for knowledge. I know how to make money. I will never not have. And I can rest on that. Because I didn't feel like that. And so I don't have to navigate from a space of lack and fear, which is where the overwork and overwhelm, despite, you know, making all the coins and everything else. And I'm like, girl, we're not doing that no more. And so I love it because it's not just talk. I'm passing that on to the team where I'm like, we just had a team meeting the other day where we just listed all of the things. And I said, let's get rid of most of them and really focus on just these three things that are going to make the biggest impact with where we want to go with the company. And the other things, although they're great and can certainly make more money, but at what cost? More work on the weekends, work in the evenings? No. But so it's just like, I'm just transitioning into this like space where I just, rest truly is resistance. I mean, if I don't take like an hour walk a day, like that, I at least, most times I get in about 2 hours. I get in a nap, I eat healthy food, I start weight training. Like your girl is, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, Mandy, the body is bodying, okay?
Oh, I can't wait to get my body back. I'll be right there with you. Speaking of which, I need to take my blood sugar while we're sitting here.
Oh, I just feel like, I think the what I like most is how I'm feeling on the inside, as far as like at peace, it's finally being expressed externally, meaning professionally, personally. I spend way more time with my dad and mom were just up here to see the cherry blossom trees. I sent an Uber for them. My sisters came with my niece and my nephew. And so like, I'm spending so much more time with friends. I just, Like, I'm just settling into, like, the life that I desire, not the life that looks good for social media. I have not even been back. You know, I took March off, and I was like, oh, I'm going to come back in April. Girl, I don't know if I'm coming back, because, I mean, maybe a little bit. I came back for a little bit. It was like, oh, it's still trash here. Let me leave. But how have you been? How have you been? How's baby treating you?
Oh, you know, I'm 6 weeks out at this point, so I feel like I'm in the home stretch. I'm really excited. Like, I want to hold every baby that I see. I want to squeeze them. I'm that creepy lady now. I had a whole convo with a toddler at Dunkin' Donuts this morning. I'm just ready. Like, Rio's really excited. But the past few weeks, physically have not been great. I have not been walking 2 hours a day. I will get back to it, though. But I'm officially been diagnosed with gestational diabetes. Okay. So now I have to check my blood sugar all the damn time. Classic me, though. I make it like I'm getting a grade and I want to like be the best into class and I want to get my blood sugar down the most, and you know, fortunately but I can follow rules and I want all the credit. And I lost my monitor this weekend and I was so I wasn't getting credit for the blood sugar. I knew my blood sugar was on point all day on Sunday. I resisted every piece of Easter candy. You know, I had my little Greek salads. I stopped eating after 7. Anyway, so that's, I'm getting under control, which is fine.
So why does that happen? Like gestational diabetes? Maybe
there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like I've got friends that are 100 pounds and they've had gestational diabetes. I've had friends who are Black, Asian, white. It's just it's just so random. I didn't have this with Rio at all.
I was going to ask you that.
But the way that my doctor described it is like we're both sharing a pancreas and, you know, sometimes the pancreas is just not giving what it needs to give for two little bodies to process glucose.
I'm glad you explained it in a Gen Z way. It's not, the pancreas is not giving, honey.
It's just not giving. It's just, it's really not a vibe at all. It's a little sus.
Sis is sus?
Yes, it's a little sus. So hold on, I'm going to prick myself. I gotta load the charger. Dude, I'm a pro now. But yes, I went to get a fresh kit this morning. And let me tell you, it's not cheap to be a diabetic. Like this stuff, this was $30 for a new kit, which doesn't even have like a long supply of strips and stuff. So, you know, I'll do my little piece on the healthcare system later. But I just want to get through this. I want to have a healthy pregnancy and, you know, move on with life. And I'm gonna be outside this summer. But business wise, good. I mean, I've been really focused on evergreening up everything that I can. And I'm feeling like I've got, you know, savings. You know, I was really like squirreling away this winter. Any entrepreneur, you know, you don't get maternity leave anymore. So been quite proud that I've been like squirreling away and saving, and I might even make it through tax season without, you know, having to file bankruptcy so I can pay my tax bill, which is going to be great.
I know.
Yay. So yeah, that's what's been going on. But I've just been like really leaning into rest. I mean, I just can't physically do a lot of what I want to be doing. And I think I've finally broken from the, I should be doing this, or a year ago I was doing that, or with Rio I was like this. And it's like, well, different baby, different body, you know. And I'm just excited to have a healthy, happy baby boy. And
well, you look beautiful.
See, Beyonce. Thank you.
No, because you know, I know sometimes, you know, people, their pregnancy is like really rough.
104, that's good.
Look at me. Sometimes the pregnancy is really rough, and then, you know, they just like my mom, when she was pregnant with me, oh my gosh, like the picture, she looked like a doll baby, right? But then when she was pregnant with Lisa, we were like, who is this lady?
That she's Lisa's number 5, and you're like, what, number 2 or
number
1?
Two.
Or,
yeah,
it hits different the longer you go. Listen, yeah, I do not. I look at pictures of me with Rio and I'm like, wait, I thought I didn't look great. I look fucking fat. I would rather have that body now, not pregnant.
Well, you know, this is not necessarily Black news, but did you hear? So I'm sure obviously you know about the FIRE movement, which stands for Financial Independence, Retire Early. It was this big movement with millennials about, you know, making as much money as possible. Typically, they're making like 6 figures, living off of like nothing. Investing the rest, and then, you know, getting to, it was usually about like $2 or $3 million in that kind of mark, and then being able to retire in their 30s. That it was this huge movement. The average person doing it, of course, was a white dude with access to make six figures and to be able to do that. But so it gained a lot of traction. But one of the pioneers, his name is, Sam Doggin, right? So he was able to retire early with $3 million. He was 34. He was married at the time. And now he's saying that he's returning to work. Sam is now 45, so 10 years later. And it's because he said that, honestly, I got kids now.
Thank you.
I'm laughing because he said, yeah. So I think if I'm reading correctly, that he has two kids. See, the thing is, when they first retired, he and his wife, they weren't sure if they're going to have kids, you know, which we go, you know, that's understandable. He's like, now we have two and we're living in San Francisco. He's like, yeah. And so, you know, he said basically what was the $3 million, he was able to grow his passive income, give or take, to about $200,000 a year, which sounds like a lot of money between the two of them. It's like both of them having a $100,000 job, but not with two children.
Because we make that year and it is not giving.
Yes, not on the coast. And so what I love is like, well, one, I'm loving the fact that like, because I'm not anti-fire movement at all. You know, I'm awful. You know me, I'm a frugal liver. But I just didn't like that it seemed like, well, all you got to do is if you had a little discipline, you could retire. And it didn't take into account that people might have kids. It didn't take into account.
It'd be so drastic to like live off of nothing and not enjoy.
Right. Yeah. And also, too, it didn't take into account that, like, it might not be accessible to you if you're a person of color, a woman, someone who's disabled, you know? And so for, from the his picture, he looks like he may be Asian. I don't want to, like, speculate, but yeah, so, you know, I'm just so happy that's like, yeah, the math was not mathing. It didn't mean he didn't do well. It doesn't mean that, you know, like that $200,000 that he's making passively is not going to supplement, obviously beautifully supplement whatever income he brings in. But I just think like, it's almost like Marie Kondo. Did you hear about Marie Kondo?
I rejoiced when she came out saying like, I don't even pay attention anymore. I got kids. There's no rules anymore. Good.
Yes.
I leave your book unread on my Kindle.
Girl. So if you're not familiar not with Marie Kondo, BA Family, she's got this, it's like tidying up or something like with Marie Kondo on
the life changing magic of tidying up. And then she had a Netflix series.
Yes.
Where she'd go into families who have kids.
Girl.
And make over their homes.
I said, this is how you tidy up. Do I love it? Do I keep it? Whatever she was doing.
And
then Marie pushed out some babies. And Marie says, say what now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kids would really just be like, kids will bring the truth to light. You know, people don't want to hear nothing until you're like, oh, you don't have kids. Never mind.
It's such a disaster. I mean, the thing is, you know, I really have to go to the sunken place when it comes to, I'm not going to lie. I've never been Miss Tidy. My mom was like super crazy about cleaning up. And I think I had the opposite reaction of like, just go with the flow. But I feel bad for moms who still maintain that like level of it needs to be clean every night before I go to bed, because I sleep really good with the full sink of dishes. And you know what? It's between sleep and staying up and scrubbing. Like, I'm just not going to choose that journey for myself. I had to give that up. So we have a clean house like once a week. And then within hours, it's destroyed. And, you know, we just make a lot of activities to leave the house so we don't have to look at it. That's our coping mechanism. And I will organize and it'll get beautiful, but I've kind of made peace with the fact that that life is not for me right at this moment, not in this season.
One of the
puzzles and Legos and
literally,
dirt
y'all
on
know
the floor.
I'm one of five kids. And so my parents, what they decided early on after like, I don't know, maybe I was like maybe five or six when my dad bought like our first house, he just decided every house we have will have a basement that belongs to the kids. And so that's what it was. It was like,
smart.
Y'all are not allowed up here unless you're taking a bath or getting in a bed. So literally, we always had a full basement where we were allowed to destroy, which we did. I mean, I'm talking about we were writing on the walls. I'm talking about melted crayons on the heat. I mean, we were destructive. But the basement was the kid's space. When you and your little raggedy friends come over, this is where you could have your toys. Of course, we had to clean up and things like that, but it wasn't the company space. So upstairs was always kept nice. And it was like, my dad would literally, we would come upstairs. He's like, I'm sorry. little trolls. Why are you upstairs? I just want a juice. Take your juice and just
back to the dungeon. Yeah. He didn't just give you a mini fridge down there?
No, and the second house of me, I definitely had a fridge and all the other stuff. And so that's, you know, that's how they handled that. They were just like, you know what? We have to relinquish part of the house to the kids. This is your basement. Yeah. Do what you will. So
I'm as bad as Rio. I like to play. I like to do puzzles with him. I like to make a mess. It's really husband who has to suffer. I don't want him to go to a room by himself. I want to be in the mix, you know?
Like, but that's because you have one. Imagine five. My dad was like, I'm sorry.
I know. Well, if you have five, you can entertain each other.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's too much. Good Lord. We haven't even mentioned the Webbies.
Yeah. We do all good news first because, you know, we got some trash news.
Yeah, but. Yeah. All the good news first. Yes. BA fam, we have done it again. Almost. Well, we haven't quite done it yet, but we have been nominated for our third Webby in just a year. Like, I feel like it was just a year ago we accepted two Webby Awards.
Two.
For best business podcast last year and then best business podcast People's Choice, which is entirely voted by the people last year.
I mean, the people have said.
The people and the critics or whoever they have, the panel choosing winners, both decided we were the best. And, you know, who could blame them? This year's kind of special because we've been nominated for best business podcast for an individual episode, mm-hmm. which is when Tiffany's return from after Superman passed away. How do you? Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know we were even up for that individual episode award, but I listened back to a bit of it, and I'm like, I remember it was raw. It was raw and real.
I'm not gonna lie. Last night I was like, I don't know. It just like hit me like a ton of. I cried till 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, some days you just like, I feel like, okay, I go for a walk, you know, and then some days it's really like, what the entire hell, you know? I told Dr. Green, my therapist, I said, sometimes it just feels like, you know, you come home to your house, you're like, oh, yeah, this is my house. And then you know, you go for a walk, you come home, and not only is your house not there, it's not like it's burned to the ground, but there's a whole different house there. And you're like, no, wait, where's my yellow house? There's this blue house there. New people living in it. It's like your whole life has been wiped away. And so some days it just feels like that. Sometimes I really cannot believe that he's not here, that he's not going to be like looking at the door like, creak, like, and I'm like, I'm taping my podcast, babe, you know? And so some days, like I said, I feel, you know, good. And I feel joy and, you know, I feel connected to my family and friends. And other days it just hits me like a ton of bread. Like last night I was like, what the hell? I was hysterical till 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, So when I was at, I don't even know. I know I got so many tweets of people saying I was scared to listen to that episode because they knew it was going to be emotionally charged and maybe even triggering, maybe because, you know, if you're missing someone that you've lost. But, you know, someone else hit, like, I don't know, it was a listener or one of my mentees. She just lost her husband and she just was like, can we jump in a call? Because I don't know, like, what to do. And I don't know how. You seem like you're okay. I'm like, girl, I'm not. You just caught me in a moment, you know? And so it's okay not to be okay. And and I'm glad that people get to see, like, you know, I mean, I feel like our audience has really grown up with us. I mean, we were two single gals ready to mingle, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know how we can call ourselves a business podcast talk about wealth building and career progression if we don't also include the personal elements that go along with that. And I feel like watching your journey as a businesswoman and as a friend and human being, but how you have not let the opportunity how you haven't let that experience dissuade you and move you away from your dreams and your goals as a business owner, but you've let it alter for the positive the way that you do business, I think is such a, you know, and of course we'd rather have Superman a million times over. But, you know, such a beautiful story for people to see and for people to follow. Just how you can do it with grace and put and make lemons out of, you know, or wait, lemonade out of lemons? I should know better. Beyonce told me what that recipe was.
But I just hope that also too, you see that like it's just a journey. I don't know. I mean, for those of you who've lost people, like what I've learned more than anything is that like it just doesn't leave you. So even when someone says that, like, and I hope if you have someone in your life that lost their mom, their dad, their partner, their child, their someone close to them, and even if it was 20 years ago, I promise you, it like cuts just like it was yesterday. Although they've learned to have the affectation in their voice like it doesn't, because you just learn that, like, you know, after like, you know, a year or so, people expect that. Not you've moved on, but it doesn't hurt as much. That's just not true. So whenever someone says like, oh yeah, when my mom, she died 10 years ago, I always stop now and just like look them in the eye and touch their hand and just say, I'm so sorry. And they're just like, they get it, because they're like, yeah, I know I say it casually, but it's never casual that my mom passed away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just hope that you give people that little bit of acknowledgement, you know, as they're sharing falsely, like casually, that losing someone that close to them, you know, still does not affect them like it just happened yesterday. But I mean, life is most meant to be lived, you know, and so that's what I'm doing to the best of my ability. And, you know, there are some gifts with grief, and one of those gifts is clarity, you know. And so, like, you know, I've got supreme clarity in, like, what I am and what I'm not going to do, what I enjoy. You know, Mandy and I had candid conversations, like, do I want to come back to Brown Ambition? You know? And I was like, because, you know, it's not for the money. I have to really, like, I got rid of everything that did not, yeah, that didn't like doing. And I was just like, I'm going to come back and I want to see, do I still like doing it? And I'm here. And I'm not here for any other reason than I enjoy doing it. I enjoy talking to my friend Mandy, like, because I don't have to do anything, you know? I could just be like, this is just not, it doesn't bring me joy anymore. And so, yeah. So, yeah, when it was that episode, I was like, really? So, you know, it better win.
if we win, and then we get to go to the Webbies, then it's even a question, do we get to do the 5-word speech? But it's all yours, boo. You got it. This is your award, Superman's award. But BA Fam also, you know, it's such a symbolic award, too, for me, because I feel like y'all held me down when I was holding it down for Tiffany. And we didn't know what was going to happen, like, audience-wise, but we continued to grow, and y'all continued to show up and listen. And just like I was giving Tiffany space, it felt like y'all were too, and you were okay with that. So we wouldn't be able to do this without y'all, BA Fam. Mm-hmm. And we also can't win this award without you, because this is entirely decided by y'all, by the audience, by the people. All right. So if you want to vote, all you have to do is go to brownambitionpodcast.com and click the banner to vote for us for the Webby Award for Best Individual Podcast Episode. Please send us out for one night on the town before I pop. Okay.
No, I mean, I have the baby on stage. Like, oh,
it would be such good content. My 5 words, my water just broke shit. that would be the show. And I haven't checked the stats, but I think we're still in first place.
I just checked the stats. We are 37%. The closest to us is 22%. But
okay, I like that margin.
Yeah, me too. But you know, I like to. Yes, I like to super win, you know.
Yeah, we don't like to do halfway. Let's have no recounts.
Yes, I would love to be 50%. No, that's
come through, BA Fam.
You want to jump to a commercial break before we go to some not so cute news? You know, we talk about some of the things that are happening in the world.
We just have like a collective brown breaks all around. Yes. Yeah, we'll do that and come right back, BA Fam. Hey, BA Fam. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. All right, BA Fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times, because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? lounge access wherever you go next. Make it happen with a Smarter Travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Anyway, we're back and Mandy has heartburn.
Yeah, all the things.
All right, now let's talk about some trash that's happening. I know, right?
Shenanigans.
To be woman, to be black, to be brown.
To be black in the South. You know, and this is what's kind of hilarious, not hilarious. Now that we've sort of on the other side of this controversy, so two black lawmakers, the Justins, as they are now being called, mm-hmm. were expelled from their positions in the Tennessee House. And basically over their protest over the shooting that recently happened at a school in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So this is like two of the biggest issues for me kind of tied up in one. One, gun violence in schools, and don't get me started. And then these two black Democrats who are in the minority already in mm-hmm. more ways than one, then get voted out because they had the audacity to protest on the House floor to draw attention to the victims and to the calls from their constituents
yes.
for gun reform, for common sense gun reform. And like, what got to me was listening to some of the arguments for the like majority white and male Republicans who were voting to expel them. They were like, there's a time and a place.
Can you imagine?
You spoke out of turn.
Boy, that's what that boy part was silent, but not really.
Yes. You didn't do it. Yes, exactly. You spoke out of turn. You know, you were disrespectful. All this. You didn't play by our rules. I'm mm-hmm. like, in what universe are politicians who are there to represent their constituents not allowed to speak out when their constituents are begging them to? Like, it's
literally,
it's
there were other lawmakers there in the past that had like peed in opposing parties' chairs. There was another one that was a pedophile and convicted, another one convicted of felony and still allowed to stay. And even then on that day, they weren't the only, there was a white woman who also protested.
Gloria something.
Yes. They were like, oh, but she didn't use the megaphone. I said, you know what? Just say you're racist and go home. It's okay.
There were three of them. She was one, but she didn't get expelled. By one vote, she kept her seat. What's really fucking hilarious about all this, and Republicans are just, why are these particular in Tennessee? I don't want to like paint Republicans mm-hmm. with a broad brush because there's some out there who are not insane. But they basically made these two Justins famous. Like, yes. I didn't know their names. Now I follow them on IG. They're getting so much donations to their campaign funds. Like, not only that, but almost immediately, one of the Justins has already been reinstated. And the second Justin, I was trying to figure out. So Justin Jones, I think, has been reinstated. And then there's the second Justin, who looks like he's going to have an opportunity to run for his seat again very soon and will probably be right back, you know, where he started. So to mm-hmm. what end did you do this? What have y'all actually accomplished for yourselves other than to make two new superstars, mm-hmm. you know, for the Democratic Party and for the cause of gun reform? Forget Democrats for a second.
For those of you who know, Easter just passed, so we're going to do a little church, right? In the Bible, it says that God will use your enemies as a footstool. Right?
Does it say,
it's like,
okay, I like that.
You know, amen, amen. So it's like what you thought you were going to come in here and embarrass these black men. And instead, you push them to the national stage where we're all looking. It's not looking cute over there for the public. But between your evil leader being indicted and arrested, you know, between like all this gun violence. Shit,
that happened too. You're right.
Mm-hmm. All this gun violence, where it's like, what does it take? Like, it's really not looking good for that party. And I'm not like pro, like Democrat either. It's just like, some days you just like, what does it take? You know what I mean? Like, what does it take? But, you know, I mean, people going, you know, what the people don't hear, they feel. So, you know, they're going to be feeling. So
I don't want to. It's impossible to think about what it will take because so many more people are going to have to die. You know, we've already had 146 fucking shootings in this year. It's barely halfway through, you know.
We're like a quarter of the way through the year.
It's sad. I'm embarrassed for our country. And I'm also like, I feel like sometimes, so there's moments where I get really anxious about it. Like, and you don't realize that you're suffering from anxiety as a parent about your kids going to school, except like recently, my cousin Anna, Rio's godmother, came home with a Nerf gun. And no warning, like nothing from me. I burst into tears. I was like, get that out of my house. I don't. And it was because I saw Rio's eyes light up when he saw it. He's like, ooh, and he wanted to play with it. And it wasn't long after Uvalde last spring. Uvalde was only, it was less than a year ago, which is just, all those babies. And I don't know. Like, I feel like as a parent, you almost have to just, what are we doing? I was asking my husband last night, are we crazy to be putting these kids into the world? And like, what did we just do? We just put them on a school bus and pray, you know? Like, it's so fucked up. And it's, you know, I've joined the groups. I've joined the Moms Demand Action. And, you know, you donate to the different funds. But it's hard. There really is no telling what it will take. But I think one thing I know for sure, and it's a goddamn shame, is it's going to take more dead people. People are going to keep dying until something gets done. This is America. It's a shit show.
Welcome to the shit show.
You're welcome. Welcome to the shit show, y'all. We're in the shit show together, all just trying to figure it out. Part of me is also like, do more people, like the governor knew someone who died, the governor of Tennessee knew someone who died in the school shooting in Nashville. Yeah. And then like, there was another one in Louisville just yesterday.
Thank you.
And one of them knew the governor of Kentucky. And I'm like, maybe it'll take more people who are connected to the leaders for them to give a damn.
He was visibly shaken, like my friend died. Like, is that what it's
like? You gonna tell his wife thoughts and prayers?
Yes.
You know? It's a horrible thought, but I'm like, is that what it's gonna take? We need to wait until they see enough of their people, their loved ones. They go to enough of those funerals. But at least one bright spot is that we have elected officials like Justin Jones, Justin Pearson speaking out, and they're getting support from Biden, from Kamala Harris, from the Obamas, you know. So hopefully they can help make a dent as well.
Yeah.
Just vote, y'all.
NCAA champion. Like that. I don't, girl, you know, I'm not sporty.
It's basketball.
Yes, basketball. And so
I'm here for the tea and the drama, not so much for like.
So yeah, let's spill the tea. Itself. So what happened?
Oh, I'm gonna, you're gonna put it on me? All right. So what happened was there's two teams, right? I feel like I'm Kid Fury on the read whenever Crystal.
Yes, I love Kid Fury sports.
He's like, there's a sport with a ball in it.
And the girl y'all probably have, it.
So like one team and then another team were against each other. And what happened was a white player from one team, don't ask me where they're from, made some kind of like rude gesture to another player. It was like, you can't see me. Yeah, I didn't realize that was a rude thing.
Initially, they say it's the John Cena. It's not. Tony Yayo is, you know, he's a 50 Cent G-Unit artist. He used to do that. Like, so imagine your hand is up like you're showing like a high five hand, but then you put the palm towards your face and then you wave it like, you can't see me. So Tony Yayo started it. And then John Cena, like, you know, which is this very popular white wrestler. And so, you know, so, and I wouldn't even say it's rude, but it's just, sports get aggressive.
It's smack talking. Yeah, in the middle exactly. of the game.
Yeah. So the girl, the white girl, Caitlin, did it. No biggie. Mm. Okay.
But then our girl.
Yes.
Angel Reese.
Yes.
A black woman did the same thing and then had audacity to go on to win.
Yes.
At the same time, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, who even was outraged? Was it Twitter? Was it Fox News? But people were blowing it up like she's rude.
Yes.
Classless.
People were calling her terrible, terrible, terrible things.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, when Caitlin used to do it, they would be like, oh, wow, she, you know, she's really into the game. Because Caitlin is actually a really great player, as is Angel. And they're just like, this is what it looks like, you know, the aggression, this is what it takes to win. But as soon as a black woman did it, it was like, oh, no, 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 but you already know. And so it just was. And even what I didn't like is, so Joe Biden, you know, Joe Biden's wife, the first lady, she was there for part of the game. And then afterwards, you know, found out that the team, you know, the Louisiana team won. And she was saying like, oh, maybe, you know, we'll invite both teams to the White House to celebrate. I'm like, Jill, that since when do we do participation?
Do you have a PR rep, Jill?
I said, girl, that's not how that goes. Winners
She's
get
a
invited.
Teacher.
Yes. And I'm trying to
give
her
back
a little space
that.
And grace, but I'm just
She's
like,
a teacher. She wants the kids to feel good.
But
she
here's
wants
the thing.
You know?
Do
but,
you think, Mandy, if the black team had lost, that Joe would have said that? Let's be real.
I really don't. I mean, I want to say yes, but I have to say I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think the internal bias was because, I don't know. I don't want the, you know, no. And it's just like, and I will say to Caitlin, the white player, you know, she's really young. She's like 20, but they had her on ESPN and they interviewed her. And honestly, she was like, y'all are bugging, basically, that like, that's, you know, it's a gesture that I use. She uses. So what? That Angel is an amazing player. And, you know, they played and they beat us. And I wasn't mad at it because this is what we smack talk on the court. She basically was like, that's really a y'all problem. I'm just here to play. And we played and we lost. And okay. And so, you know. Yeah, I think it was a guy from, is it EA? No, it's like, he's a big podcaster. He owns like a big podcast network who was like talking about her terribly, talking about Angel terribly. Mm. I just like, you know, these grown men talking about these young women.
Was it Joe Rogan?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Joe Rogan. It was like this podcast owner or podcast network owner. Mm. I just be like, ain't y'all tired? You know what I mean? Like, you're not tired.
It reminds me, I was listening to a white woman who recently got canceled. Not recently, Alison Roman. Do you know her?
Girl, no.
She was this like famous New York Times cookbook writer and author who blew up during the pandemic. White woman, blonde, from lives in Brooklyn, you know. And she criticized Chrissy Teigen and Marie Kondo in an interview, and then she was canceled. Lost her gig at the New York Times, went off into the ether. People, and she was on a podcast, like she's on her return tour, coming back with a new cookbook. And on the podcast, she was like, there were people defending me that I did not want to be a part of their team. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, not you. No, I don't need your help. And I feel like it's these like conservatives who are looking for any case to jump on. And I feel like Caitlin's having the same feeling like, no, I don't ride with y'all.
Yeah.
I'm on like Angel's
y'all.
Side
I'm not,
here.
You mad,
make that
you
clear.
Mad for me. I'm not mad. Like we playing the game. We talk smack. The guys talk smack. So girls talk smack too. And so,
Well, Angel is now going to the White House and apparently the other team is not getting invited.
Yeah, as they ought not to. Not because of any other reason. Well, that's just how it goes. The winners
that's
go.
That's tradition.
I mean, you don't break tradition when black people win. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Like, to make people feel more comfortable, we'll have both teams there. Yeah.
And like, you know, maybe it was did you see that? It was this woman, this young black girl was the first black valedictorian or salutatorian of her school. And they had someone who had a lower, they made two valedictorians, a white girl, like with a lower GPA. And I'm like, why? Because the black girl got the higher. Yes, girl. That's why I'm just like, when people love to use the, if you would only work harder, if you would only, it's like, let's be real. That's just not true. You will always move the goalpost. That's why I just don't participate. And, you know, I've just opted out and I build my own shit. And then I get to hire amazing black and brown women, you know, and give them the space and the grace to, you know, for those who are willing to do the work for, you know, to be treated fairly and to be paid well, because I just can't, you know what I mean? Like, I can't, you know, because it just can. And I know everybody's not able to do that. And sometimes you have to work for whomever, whatever. But I just was like, I got to opt out. I got to tap the F out because it's exhausting. Anyway, that's our, I mean, we didn't even have official brown boost, brown break, but
brown
that's the
boost
break.
To Angel Reese and only yes. Angel Reese. Brown break to everyone. Brown boost to those of us who can see through the bullshit and recognize what's happening. It's not about playing it fair. It's not about, oh, we just want everyone to be recognized for their hard work. It's about what happens when Black women are at the forefront and win, and how quickly our success will try to be picked apart
and
taken, you know? Yeah. But I think in this case, she preserved her dignity, and I'm very proud of her.
Yes. Well, we will see you next week. Well, actually, we'll see you on Friday. BAQA, and then definitely next week. Keep listening. If you have not forwarded the show to somebody, what are you waiting on? If you have not been to brownambitionpodcast.com and clicked the Webby banner and voted for us, what are you waiting on? We love you, BA fam. Until next time.
Bye. Hey, BA fam, we could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Imani Crosby, and Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru. I am your co-host, Mandy Woodruff-Santos, and we will see y'all next week, BA fam.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.